year into the big reform of the federal hiring process, KSAs are mostly gone, at least at the beginning of the process, and OPM's driven a lot more changes, but it'll take more than that to keep top talent from slipping through the cracks. Tom Shoup is the editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine, and before we talk about that, Tom, I wanted to ask you if you have plans for the weekend. I got two NASCAR tickets I would like to take you out to the race in Dover, if you'd like to go with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, as tempting as that is, my wife has made several appointments for me to mow the lawn and pull the weeds.
Oh, lucky you. So. You'd rather do that stuff than go to the NASCAR race?
You know, I can't say that I would. Hmm. Never having been to a NASCAR race. I'm going to take you up on this someday.
You asked me once to explain NASCAR to you, and this is your shot, and so I'm sorry that you're not going to be able to leverage that into an exciting opportunity. 89% of agencies getting rid of KSAs, and we're still getting a sense that there are some struggles out there in the hiring process, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it's because they're now starting to realize this is about more than just getting rid of KSAs. And, you know, one of the interesting things is that effort has gone gangbusters, at least the evidence seems to be. But one of the things that came out this week is that agencies are not doing quite as well on writing their own job postings. So they're requiring less in terms of responses from applicants, but still generating these huge, sometimes as long as 30, 35-page job announcements listing all the requirements for the position. And so that's what OPM is starting to focus on. One of the things they're starting to focus on now is let's try to cut down on the size of those, too.
I am amazed to see some of these sometimes, too. I mean, certainly the 35-pagers are the exception to the rule, but the multi-pagers are not out of the realm of normalcy, I don't think. I think that's fair to say. And yet, if you go on a site like Monster or something like that, and you look at some of the descriptions that are there, on some of the postings that are there, there may be a page or a page and a half. And so it becomes, I understand there are things that have to be in some of these postings that do stretch them out, some regulatory stuff and so on.
Right.
But boy, oh boy, to have something stretch for as long as some of these, you wonder if anybody that applies actually read the thing.
Right, and you wonder if they've just sort of grown up year after year after year with things being added to mm-hmm. traditional language that just makes them bigger and bigger and bigger.
As far as keeping people interested in the hiring process, we're seeing a shortening of it a little bit, and you're reporting on that in Government Executive. But going from 160 days to 105 is good, but still not anywhere near where Director Barry said a number of times he wants to be. 80 days is the number that he cited.
And 80 days isn't exactly great by a private sector comparison, but that's where they're headed. And it's sort of interesting that, you know, that's what agencies are really focused on right now, is getting that hiring time down, because, you know, as I'm sure you know, what you're ordered, what you get told to measure is what do.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were told to get 80 days, they're aiming to get down to 80 days as soon as they can. But already OPM and others are starting to realize that, you know, it's not just about making the process faster. It's about getting high-quality candidates. You know, in a government that's downsizing and that may have fewer opportunities, it can't really afford to get it wrong on candidates. So you want to make sure you have a process in place by which you're identifying quality candidates, getting them through the door, and giving them the kind of experience that makes them want to stay, which is the other problem. That, you know, you want to make sure that your retention numbers are such that, you know, people are interested in the job and engaged in the job and want to stay in government.
Well, and that means that some of your hiring problems go away because you're not having to do as much of it. You touch on something else there that I think is really critical, and then I wonder if it gets talked about enough, and that is the fact that you can hire somebody in 10 days, but if they're a knucklehead, they don't do you any good.
Yeah, that's right. Just getting it to, you know, just making it faster certainly doesn't solve all your problems. It clearly addresses the problem the government has that it tends to be slow as compared to the private sector, but it doesn't mean that you have a highly functioning workforce. What you need for that is to be doing a good job of identifying candidates, getting people through the pipeline, and giving them an experience that keeps them engaged.
We have all the stuff posted up that about this. You have a number of resources, and we've linked it all at federalnewsradio.com. just to keep it in context, 80 days is still over two and a half months. So as you mentioned, the comparison to what is commonly found, even at higher levels in the private sector, is still, meh.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting in the ballpark, I think, depending on the job, but it's nothing to write home about, really.
Tom Shoup, a lot of this stuff, as I mentioned, at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, linked up to govexec.com, and thank you as always, and I'll miss you at the race this weekend, but I'll have a cold one for you.
I expect a full report.
I'll